start, I'd like to open us up in prayer. Almighty God, we are humbled by being in your presence. And we ask that your Holy Spirit opens our hearts and our minds to the truth that is found in your word. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go to 2 John. Or if you have your Bible on your phone, go to 2 John. Second John was written by John, and it's a rather short book, so I'm going to read the whole book. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in. For many deceivers have got out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may not be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Very short, only 13 verses, but very powerful. It certainly will cause us to think about what our walk is with the Lord and how our life should reflect that of Christ. It begins, you can really break this down into four parts. The greeting, which is 1-3. The next section, 4-6. Then 7-11. And then the final greetings. It starts the elder. Why would it start with the elder? Because he was an elder. And obviously those who he's writing this letter to knows what an elder means within the church. It's a position of leadership. It's a position of authority. In this case, John was an eyewitness to Christ. He was with him. He saw him. He saw him do miracles. He saw him to raise the dead. He saw him with the religious leaders of his time, talking with them, rebuking them. So when he said the elders, I'm sure people said, wow, he's writing this to us. And why is he writing this letter? Well, it tells us a little later in this, because of love. He cares for them. He wants to warn them, and we'll see, he wants to warn them about deceivers. You know, other places in Scripture, it talks about wolves coming into the church. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about wolves coming into the church, and he tells us to beware, to be careful. Don't let it affect your walk with the Lord. But he also says, God's mercy and peace will be with us. Mercy. We all need mercy. We all need mercy. And we need peace. Because stuff happens in our life. Things happen in our life. We have to deal with the world. And sometimes the world doesn't treat us very kindly. Sometimes the world comes after us because we're not of the world. And we want a peace, right? When we go through difficult times, when we say something like, this is not fair. This shouldn't be happening to me. What the world is God doing to me? We forget about all that God has done for us. And we have struggles. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be struggling until we're in the grave because of this flesh that's in us. We're going to have a struggle. We are going to have a struggle. But praise be to God of the promises that are found in this book. And the only way we're going to know the promises that are found in this book, we've got to study this book. We've got to know what's in this book. We've got to go to Sunday school. We need to go to church. We need to hear the pastor preach. Whose word? God's word. As I told somebody the other day on the phone, God does not grade on a curve. God's word is absolute. He's not going to say to you, yeah, I understand why you did that. Yeah, I understand how the people at work were. Yeah, I understand about your children. So, no. That's not how it works. God is holy, holy, holy. That's who we're dealing with. That's why we need to take seriously what's in His Word. Because He does. How seriously does God take His Word? The cross. That's how seriously God takes His Word. So my brothers and sisters, there is no such thing as a little sin. Because that little sin, that's the only sin you ever committed, ever. That sin will send you to hell if you don't have Christ. So that's how little that sin is. It's not little. I think sometimes we forget about the holiness of God. And we want to justify our behavior. We say something like, well, everybody does this. No, everybody doesn't do that. Well, you don't know my children. I don't need to know your children. Well, you know, things have been tough at work, and I haven't been sleeping very well, and, you know, I've had a cold. Okay. So that justifies you for sinning against God? What are you going to tell God? You're not going to tell God anything. Because He knows all of us better than we'll ever know ourselves. Then it talks about, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. I believe what he's talking about is the lady's children, and I believe the lady is referring to the church. Most people who have studied this believe that. There are a few exceptions to the rules regarding that, but nobody's been able to identify who this lady is. And then with the children, they can't identify it at all. So obviously this letter went to a specific church, or maybe churches. And then he says, I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. So what is love? That we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. So he told us what love is. And it says, His commandment, not John Simon's commandment, not your wife's commandment, not your husband's commandment, not your best friend's commandment, but His commandment. And it goes back to knowing God's Word. How do you know what you're supposed to do unless you know what the commandments are? How? You can't. Or your best friend talks to you and says, this is what you should be doing. Well, okay, he's your best friend. You have a good relationship with him. But you need to compare it to Scripture. You need to be like the Bereans. You need to, even when Pastor Santos preaches, you need to make sure what he's saying is the truth. And there's only one way to know the truth, is to compare it with the book written by God. That is the truth. That is the only truth that matters. I mean, this book, this is who we're going to stand before one day. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, Scripture tells us the wages of sin is what? Death. So what have all of us earned? Death. Why? Because we sinned. That's why all of us, unless the Lord decides to come back before we find the ground, that's where we're going to be. Because we've earned it. We've earned it. But praise God. Praise God for Christ, who paid it all. All. Not most of it. Not 99% of it. All of it. So we should rejoice in that. We should give thanks for that. We should praise God for that. Because God did not have to sacrifice his son. He didn't have to. But that was the only way he could have a people. So someone had to pay the price. Someone had to pay the price. And someone did pay the price. And flesh, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. The glories of heaven. And Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to be rejected by man. And what the leaders were going to do to him. It didn't take him by surprise. He knew everything that was going to happen. And he lived a sinless life. A sinless life. And he said, "Yes, Father, if this could pass, let it pass." That was Jesus with the flesh around him saying that for what he was dealing with. The sin of all those who were born, will be born. He was dealing with that on the cross. And the weight of it, we can't imagine the weight of it. You know, brothers and sisters, crucifixion was a terrible way to die. Probably one of the worst ways to die. And that would have been bad enough if it would have been just that. But it was more. It was paying the consequences of sin of those who would be called into the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus was dealing with on that cross. And you know about what happened about the universe. The universe was looking upon Jesus on the cross. The angels were looking on Jesus on the cross. What was going on with Jesus on the cross? And we knew that the darkness and everything that occurred. The universe was jolted by what was going on. But yet he stayed on the cross. Not only did he stay on the cross, he died on the cross. For all of us who know him. You know, Scripture talks about humility. And it talks about pride. We know that God hates pride. He hates it. But we know what he thinks of humility. We should be the humblest people on the face of the earth. We have nothing to brag about. We sin naturally. We don't have to think about sinning. We have to fight against sin. Constantly. You know, I thought as I grew older it would get easier. Didn't happen. I think Scripture has made me more aware of how sinful I really am. It should cause us to get on our face before God. And he's given us so many blessings. Those of you who are married, your husband or your wife is what? A gift from God. Your children, what are they? A gift from God. Your abilities as a teacher, a mechanic, an accountant, a publisher, whatever, it's a gift from God. A gift from God. The desires to open God's Word. The desires to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters. The desires to use your gifts for the church, or your gift for the church. Being a good steward of all that God has given you is a gift from God. Your years here on this earth, be it, now that I'm closer to 70 or 75, or 80, 85, 90, I'll give you 100. It's a gift from God. It's all a gift from God. All of it. Question is, do we believe it? Well, I work hard. Okay. Who are you ultimately working for? God. God. Who are you reflecting in the workplace? God. Who do your neighbors see if they know that you're a Christian? Do they see Christ? Or do they see the devil? We are blessed to be able to share Christ. We can share the good news of Jesus Christ. He allows us to do so. He allows us to plant seeds. What a blessing that is when you think about it, that we can present someone the good news of Jesus Christ. He lets us allow us to be part of that. And that's amazing. It's amazing to me, anyway, that he allows us to do so. So then he talks about the deceivers. They've gone out into the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. So obviously, if someone says that Jesus Christ was not born, if Jesus Christ was not born, obviously you can't believe in something that wasn't around. So obviously they don't have a relationship with Christ. They are of the world. That's what Scripture says. And obviously he's talking about people who profess to be a Christian. Because we know those who are in the world are in the world because they don't know Christ. Not talking about those people, because we know what they're going to believe. They're not going to believe in Christ because they're in the world. Okay, no, but he's talking about people who profess to be a Christian I don't know how that works, because I don't know how you can profess to be a Christian and not say that Christ was born. I've never met anyone like that, but obviously there must have been. Then it's talking about watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for. Obviously, John is not saying that you work for your salvation. John knows you can't work for your salvation, that it is a gift from God. But that's not what he's talking about. I'm sure John and those who were with him spent much time teaching, rebuking, helping, sharing. Just go down the list. That's what he's talking about, what they were working for. And it does take work. That's what he's talking about. Then he talks about does not abide in the teaching of Christ. So does that mean if you sin, you don't abide in Christ? Is that what he's talking about? Because if it's about sinning and you don't abide in Christ, we all have a problem. Because I assure you, all of us sin. And I assure you, some of us sin more than others. So that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Christ himself. Christ himself. We're not going to hold to the law perfectly. We're not. It's impossible. We won't. I've said to a couple men around here, what's going on in our minds while we're sleeping? We have no idea. Why? Because we're sleeping. What's going on between the ears? What's going on between the ears? And we may be sinning without even realizing we're sinning. Think about that. We could be sinning without realizing we're sinning. I mean, you look at God's Word, and it's so convicting. So convicting. And we have to totally rely on Him. You know, none of us know what the future holds. None of us know what's going to happen a day from now, let alone a year from now. None of us knows what's going to happen with our families, with our health, with the health of our parents, if you're still blessed to have your parents around, or children, or your job, or the neighborhood, or the weather. You can pick 100 things. None of us know. But it tells us that we'll have a peace because of God. Question is, do we have that peace? Do we have a peace that goes beyond all understanding? Or do we get distracted? Do we bring things into our life that hinders our walk with the Lord? Do we watch things on television? Do we listen to things on the radio? Do we watch movies that may be a good movie, but, you know, there's a few scenes in there that, probably really shouldn't be watching it, but it's really a good movie. Or we hear words that are inappropriate. I would say to you, and I've told a couple of men this, there is no such thing as being neutral in our walk with the Lord. We are either moving towards God or we are moving away from God by the things we see and hear and do. But do we say, well, God will understand? God will understand. You know, I'm only a human being and, you know, I'm going to sin. It's a foregone conclusion. I'm going to sin. And God really isn't going to hold that against me. Really? He's not? You know, all of us in this room will probably be standing before God. And the books will be open. And, you know, I don't know how that works regarding the books. You know, Scripture makes it clear that every word we say, every thought that we've had, every promise that we made will be there. Will be there. And I'll speak for myself. God will say, John Simon, you're going to hell for what you did. But Jesus says, wait, Father. I died for him on the cross. The blood has covered his sin. All his sins. Then we're welcomed into heaven. Not because of anything I ever did, ever will be able to do. Nothing. Nothing. It is all of Christ. I was talking to someone earlier today here in church, and we were talking about a few things, and I've said, you know, Scripture tells us that when we're in heaven, we're going to take our crowns and throw it at Jesus' feet, or put it at Jesus' feet. I think then we'll truly realize everything is because of Christ. Everything. And I'm not worthy of those crowns because Christ is all because of you and not me. And we'll be humbled. We'll be without sin. You know, that's something that I think about. I think part of it is because God taking Jenny home, it'll be 2 years coming up in August. I think about she stood before God. She went through the judgment. And now she's in a sinless state of being. Me personally, I can't imagine that. I mean, I know what the words are. I know what sinless means. But it's not what I am. But that's what she is. That's what she is. And I think about that. I think about that. And what a glorious thing to think about. Not that we should want to wish that we were no longer here and dead. I get that. But look where we're going. Look who we're going to be with. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. And that's why we should have a desire to share with our family and our friends about Christ. Because all the stuff around us is temporal. It's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And I know it's difficult when it comes to family. I mean, I have a brother who's not saved. I have a niece who's not saved. And I'm going to see him next week when I go up to Pennsylvania. And I have friends who aren't saved. And some of them don't want to hear it. Okay. But do we care enough to share with them? You know, I think one of the saddest things that can happen is that you go to a funeral or the funeral home, you go up to the casket, and you look at the body in the casket, and you have a thought. I wish that I would have shared with them Christ. Too late now. Too late. Now, could somebody else have shared with them? Yep, could have. Could have, but you need to remind yourself of that. This. You may be the only person who have ever shared with them Jesus Christ. Could be. Look at the thief on the cross. Look at the thief on the cross. That should give all of us in this room hope for unsaved loved ones. Because if we would have been there, we would have said about the thieves, they deserve what they're getting. I'm sure none of us would have thought would have happened what did happen because of Christ. Where Christ said to him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. So brothers and sisters, there is hope as long as there's breath in them. There is hope. And those of you who know church history or even family members or friends who have come to Christ, He can do all things. He can change all hearts because He's God Almighty. He made us. He made us. And He can do all things. So there is hope.